It's well known that stress can interfere with fertility, but what's less well understood is how. It turns out there's a stress-sensitive signal in the brain's hypothalamus that can block the release of hormones that normally coordinate reproduction. UC Berkeley scientist Anna Geraghty found that temporarily deactivating this signal can prevent the effects of stress on reproduction in rats. First up, co-author on the study, Daniela Kaufer.
So stress is known to inhibit reproduction, and it makes a lot of sense because an organism that's under distress would want to conserve energy, and reproduction is costly, more so for females. So you would expect that stress would inhibit reproduction, and that is the case, and that is well known. But the details of exactly how that does it, that's not exactly known, and this is what we wanted to find out in this project.
When we say stress, this can mean a range of different things, can't it? So how are you defining stress in this study?
You're right, absolutely. We took a very common model of rat stress, where we were stressing the animals or immobilizing them for 3 hours every day for 18 days.
And when you do that, what does this do to their reproductive cycles?
The first thing that you see and that you would expect to see is that there's a rise in the level of circulating stress hormones, what would be cortisol in people. You also have a rise in a peptide called gonadotropin inhibitory peptide, or in the mammals it's called RFRP3. It's a top-down switch, if you want, of the reproductive system. It sort of shuts down the system.
Where does this come from, this inhibitory hormone, and what sorts of cells is it targeting? What's seeing it, and what effect is it having?
The RFRP3 hormone is produced in an area of the brain called the hypothalamus. It is known to inhibit cells that produce GnRH, the gonadotropin-releasing hormone. So controlling from the top the hypothalamus-pituitary-gonadal axis.
And the fact that it comes on in response to stress, it's downstream of the effects of stress. How is that achieved then?
Several years ago, we looked at the cells that produce GnRH and we found that they have the right receptors for the stress hormone, for the corticosterone or cortisol. So that's called a glucocorticoid receptor, and that's expressed in the cells that produce GnRH. And in response to this elevated stress signal, they start producing GnRH, and that stays around.
And then when a person recovers from stress, or an animal recovers from stress, you would expect their cortisol levels to drop right down. Do you see, eventually, the inhibitory peptide falling off, or does it stay elevated?
The furthest out we look was one full estrus cycle after the stress. At this point, we see the stress hormone that's going down, so we don't see any more glucocorticoids that are elevated, but the GnRH is still elevated. We haven't looked further out at the expression, but we did look at the functional relevance of that. And when we look at what happens functionally to the animals, they still have difficulty in mating. Less of them that mated get pregnant, and more of the ones that got pregnant have problems carrying the pregnancy throughout, and we see embryo survival that is decreased.
So, Anna, how did you explore what the relationship was between RFRP and the fertility effects?
So what we used in our study was actually an inducible knockdown virus. And what that means is that the virus itself turns off the RFRP gene in the hypothalamus. And so we're putting it directly into the brain to shut it down. But what the inducible aspect of is that we could actually control when that virus is on and off. And so what we were able to do is control the virus to such a degree that it was only turned off during that stressful period. So the same period we did earlier, where we found the fertility problems, we repeated those 18 days, but during this time, we blocked RFRP from being released to actually look at the effects RFRP increases might be causing in these. However, because it's inducible, we can actually turn it back on once the stress is over. And what we found was that by turning off RFRP just during those 18 days, you completely prevented all those reproductive problems we saw in the stressed animals. And they actually had the same levels of stress hormones between the two groups. So not having RFRP didn't change how they experienced the stress, just the downstream effects of it.
What do you think the implications are for what you've found?
Oh, I think the possibilities are really great for what we could do, although a lot of research needs to be done. The ability to start thinking about maybe it's not just the stress hormone we should be looking at when humans or animals are having fertility issues, that maybe it's something downstream of stress that might be persistent, even though the stress levels are normal. So in this case, RFRP might give us a much wider range of problems to look for in fertility so that we could actually better identify problems humans are having.
Anna Geraghty, and before her, Daniela Kaufer.